Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Gina R. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, November 26, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 161, the third paragraph, under Only Slightly Different, reading through two paragraphs ending in this helpful interchange. Comments will be on both paragraphs. Today's readers are for the 12 steps, Laura A., for the 12 traditions, Reggie O. Our readers will be Wendy B., Terry C., and Kathy G. And our newcomer greeter will be Melanie C. The reference numbers for Sunday, November 25th, the special edition, 12,222. And Monday, November 26th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 12,223. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura A. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Laura A., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
And thank you, Laura A. I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 traditions.
Thanks, Gina. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Wonderful. Hi, this is Reggie O. Gratefully here in Southern California today. Sun coming up as I sit here. 12. First, personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, excepting in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Grateful to be able to be of service this morning. Thank you.
And thank you, Reggie O. Here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, please make sure you are not using a speakerphone. Speak directly into your phone or headset. Press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 161, the third paragraph, which begins, under only slightly different. We're going to read through two paragraphs ending in this helpful interchange, and comments will be on both paragraphs. I will ask Wendy B. to begin reading.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. Under only slightly different conditions, the same thing is taking place in many eastern cities. In one of these, there is a well-known hospital for the treatment of alcoholic and drug addiction. 6 years ago, one of our number was a patient there. Many of us have felt for the first time the presence and power of God within its walls. We are greatly indebted to the doctor in attendance there, for he, although it might prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief in ours. Every few days, this doctor suggests our approach to one of his patients. Understanding our work, he can do this with an eye to selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. Many of us, former patients, go there to help. Then in this eastern city, there are informal meetings such as we have described to you, where you may now see scores of members. There are the same fast friendships. There's the same helpfulness to one another as you find among our Western friends. There's a good bit of travel between East and West, and we foresee a great increase in this helpful interchange. And so where it says, many of us have felt for the first time the presence and power of God within its walls. And, you know, I found the presence and power of God in the pages of this book, you know, and in these phone lines, you know, and before doing the steps in the Big Book, I had sensed the presence of God numerous times, but I never had access to his power, you know, to overcome my problems until I got unblocked by working these steps. And then where it says, we're greatly indebted to the doctor in attendance, and this doctor suggests our approach to one of his patients. And this doctor is Dr. Silkworth, you know, who wrote The Doctor's Opinion, and he jeopardized his job and reputation by sharing his truth. You know, he didn't give in to fear. You know, and he defined our disease. He suggested we don't approach a newcomer with preaching the God experience at first, but we tell them about our disease and share our story so they can identify in. You know, and this is all about, you know, getting the newcomer to identify in and not push God on them and end up turning them away. And then I'm also, in reading that part, I'm reminded of Dr. Silkworth's words in The Doctor's Opinion, where he said, the most cynical will no wonder that we have accepted and encouraged this movement. We feel after many years of experience that we have found nothing which has contributed more to the rehabilitation of those men than the altruistic movement now growing up among them. And then down where it says, we foresee a great increase in this helpful interchange. You know, and if you could only see, you know, these daily meetings where we share from this book every day, you know, and there's constant helpful, you know, interchanges available, you know, and I get so much help and inspiration from the shares on this line. You know, I just heard on Sunday how I can make a relationship ideal for how I relate as a member on Vision. And I can review, you know, how I lived up to that deal on my ideal on my nightly review. And, you know, I can use that as a basis for answering the question, what could I have done better? You know, and I just get so many helpful hints, and I just am so grateful for this program and these phone lines and this meeting. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy, for getting us started, and really appreciate it. Okay, who would like to share on what was read?
Sunny S.
Sunny S.
Nancy P.
Nancy P.
Ida A.
Ida A.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Ruth H.
Ruth H.
Marissa E.
Marissa E. Okay, let's go ahead and we'll do that. I like six is a nice one to start with. So here's what we've got.
Could you give me where we read from, please?
Yeah, I'll do that. Just one moment. We've got Sunny S., Nancy P., Ida A., Kathleen O., Ruth H., and Marissa E. Sunny will start, and she's reading on from, we're reading from page 161, the third paragraph, reading for two paragraphs, ending with this helpful interchange. Sunny, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Sunny S. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, so my name is actually spelled S-A-N-N-E. It's just difficult for some people to find me. And I'm in Colorado. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I was reminded with these paragraphs about essentially the journey that I went through. I reached the bottom very early. I was 20 when I walked into the room, and it was after me getting my dream job, graduating from college, and literally dropping everything. Like, I walked into the office, quit my job, packed my car. I was like, I'm going to move to the, you know, most lost town in Vermont. I'm going to be with nature, going to be with God, because that will fix me. And obviously it didn't. You know, it took me 2 weeks to realize I was completely powerless. And on my way back, it was probably the worst 7 days of my life, where I was, you know, completely addicted to sugar. My blood felt thick from the amount of food that I was eating. And then I went to a meeting, you know, I went to a Vision meeting, thank goodness. And, you know, just like it says in this paragraph, you know, in here it was a doctor that said, you know, of his belief in ours, you know, in the work that we do. And it's very interesting how, like, the belief that my sponsor had in me doing this work, you know, was like the beginning. It was like, okay, if it happened for her, then it can happen for me too. And then, you know, willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis, you know, something as simple as sticking to a meal plan. I thought that was control. I was like, wow, I'm going to be, you know, controlling my food even more. Like, what is this about? And my sponsor said, you know what? If you just stick to what your nutritionist says, then there's no thinking about it. You're essentially surrendering. And I was like, oh, well, that makes sense, you know, and I stuck to a meal plan. And I got that experience, you know, I started to get that experience of like, wow, I don't need to control this. And it applied to different things and areas in my life, not just the food, you know, it started applying to my relationships and to just a whole new life appeared, you know, where I could be not just substance sober, but also emotionally sober. And then when it says friendships, and I see the word helpfulness, you know, my life became all about recovery when I first entered the rooms. And when I say that, I literally mean like all my social circles were people in recovery, because they, you know, gave me hope. They understood the journey that I was in. And, you know, for such a big perspective change that this program gave me, I needed that. I needed to be around people that thought the same way. And I've created friendships that I cannot even describe. I wasn't able to have intimacy with people before. And now, thanks to program, I can bring those friendships from program over to the real world and have intimacy with people and establish relationships and at work and with my partner and with my best friends. Thank you for the time. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sunny S. Nancy P., you're up next. You're going to be followed by Ida A. Nancy, please go ahead. Nancy, are you on the line? Press star one. Okay, Ida,
hi,
are you ready
hi,
to go?
I'm here.
Oh,
go, Nancy.
There she is.
Sorry, I thought it was already unmuted, but apparently it muted me again. Anyway, it's Nancy, T as in Tom, not P. And I wanted to, thank you for letting me share. I wanted to talk about, many of us have felt for the first time, the presence and power of God within its walls. I really relate to that because I was raised Catholic, and it was a very damaging religion for me, and I'm speaking for myself. And what I remember was being taught about a very punishing God. And the message I got was that God was there for all of us. So when I go back to when I was 5 and I did my first communion, I wasn't told I had my own individual God within my heart or, you know, a higher power just for me. So as a newcomer, that has been very difficult for me to believe that a God would care about my daily affairs, because it was so ingrained in me that the God I had was one that was there for the whole church and the whole world, and that was watching closely and would punish you if you misbehave. So it was not a good presence that basically I wanted. And I did many things, you know, hiding from that God and always feeling punished. But, you know, I am looking for that psychic spiritual experience. And I believe in God. I'm very spiritual. I'm not fully really feeling it yet, where I'm like, yes, I have my higher power, and yes, my higher power is just for me. And it's almost like I kind of feel like selfish, but also I live with like my husband, who's a scientist and he's atheist, and a teenage daughter who is atheist, and then a super Catholic rosary everyday mom. And so, you know, I'm kind of like between these two, you know, realms. But now that I've been in the program, I'm talking a lot about the Big Book, and they just look at me like, oh my God, you have joined a cult, you know, or okay, Jesus freak. And I'm not even talking about Jesus. I am just talking about, you know, if I am less controlling and turn things over to God, I'm going to get along better with everyone in the house. And so that's where I'm at, and that's what struck me about this. I also want to say Dr. Silkwood was a badass, and I love that, you know, the previous lady said, he was doing this, risking his career. And that's the kind of person that I am. When I believe in something, I go in wholeheartedly, and I am a ride or die. And, you know, I think there's another part. Okay. With that, I will pass. Thank you. And it was Nancy T as in Tom.
Thank you, Nancy T. Appreciate it. All right. We've got Ida A up next, followed by Kathleen O. Ida, please go ahead.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you so much for your service, and always a gift to hear your voice. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Ida here. Grateful, compulsive overeater from Northern British Columbia, compulsive eater till the day I die, and wearing wool socks today, but with a warm heart. And what jumped out at me was similar to other wonderful fellow shares, which is the presence and the power of God. What's new for me today is that the presence and the power isn't angry, vengeful God. Within the walls of a vision for you, there is a gentleness and a helpfulness and an understanding. I don't know how Dr. Silkworth understood us, I think that's remarkable. I understand compulsive overeaters. He wasn't one of us, and yet he believed in us. And that gives me the ability to move forward, to really understand it and have more and more willingness and more wanting to put into action and remove the filters that I've had, the judgmental filters of wherever it says in the big book about judging the trees and, you know, getting rid of all the forest or whatever that section is. I have judged so many people and thrown out all the good. And I don't have to do that today with you wonderful visionaries and this simple program that I complicate to all ends. But when I don't complicate it, it is really simple. It really is simple. And there is love and there's gratitude and there are these steps taken daily for the rest of my life. And I just have to show up and say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, got it. Ida's ideas are going by the wayside. So much gratitude to Dr. Silkworth, much gratitude to Bill, amazing gratitude times a thousand for all of you for being here and not giving up for those of us that are slow learners. Blessings to all. I pass.
Thank you, Ida A. Okay, we've got Kathleen O up next, followed by Ruth H. Kathleen, please go ahead.
Good morning, Gina. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. You know, so this is about one alcoholic carrying the message to another alcoholic. And in our case, one compulsive overeater carrying the message to another compulsive overeater. And the line, selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. It's like, willing to recover on a spiritual basis? What? If I had come in and that was the first thing I heard, I probably would have said no and walked out. I mean, that's a solution. I thought the solution was being able to find the perfect diet and maybe that's where I would find it. Boy, was I surprised. And it was a good surprise. Bill W. got sober with the help of Ebby. He and Dr. Bob were both part of Oxford groups. Bill W., after he got sober, worked with a lot of alcoholics, but none of them actually recovered. But he met Dr. Bob at one of these Oxford groups. And Dr. Bob, the people in the Oxford group who were not alcoholics had been trying to help Dr. Bob and it wasn't working. But when they met, Bill passed on Dr. Silkworth's message that alcoholism is a physical allergy, a mental obsession, it's a disease of the mind and the body. And this made sense to Dr. Bob and he could relate to Bill W. And he got sober and never drank again. And I wonder if those alcoholics that Bill W. worked with in the beginning, maybe they didn't want it. Maybe they didn't want to do what needed to be done. Maybe, I don't know. But I think when we meet somebody who wants this, because I've met people who don't want it, and it does no good to tell them anything, because if they don't want it, they don't want it. To meet someone who understands how I think, how this allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, coming in hopeless, there's just a real connection there. So, you know, Bill W. was far from perfect. He was human too. But what he and, Dr. Bob accomplished in getting this book out and, over the years, I think after 4 years, there were 100 sober alcoholics. And then in 1939, an article was written in Liberty Magazine and they got 800 plus calls. And 1941, there was an article in the Saturday Evening Post and they ended up with 6,000 members. So this just continues to grow. And Vision has continued to grow. When I first got on Vision, there were like maybe 100 people or so, and now there, I think, are 3,000. So it's great how we can really help each other and carry this message and have this spiritual experience that makes it so we just don't want the stuff we used to eat before that made us crazy. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for your beautiful timing. Okay, we've got Ruth H. next, and she'll be followed by Marissa E., and then I'll take some more names after Marissa. Ruth, please go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Gina. Thanks so much. This is Ruth H., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. You know, I was thinking, I wasn't in a hospital when I felt the presence or the power of God for the first time, but it certainly was because of this program. For me, it really came so noticeably after giving away my step four to the pastor at my church, and I gave away several step fours. This was just one of them, but when he said that my sins were forgiven, you know, words I thought I'd never hear, nor was I worthy of, you know, I just... I was flabbergasted that those words came out of his mouth, truly, but I couldn't stop doubting him, and I certainly never thought I was worthy of hearing those words, you know, so I kept questioning him, you know, how do you know that my sins are forgiven? And he tried, you know, sharing his knowledge, you know, quoting scripture, you know, looking back to things in history, but I continued to doubt, you know. It wasn't until finally, I think probably in frustration over the numerous times I would ask that same question, that finally he blurted out, "I know you are forgiven because I know him." And those four little words, it's because I know him. That's what you all in this program are teaching me. It's how to know him, the God of my understanding. You know, a God who truly forgives all sins, everything that we do, who loves us unconditionally, always and forever. You know, a God that's recovered me and will continue to, you know, each one day at a time, as long as I stay spiritually fit by maintaining my entire abstinence and practicing these beautiful steps. You know, no, it wasn't within a hospital's walls when I felt that beautiful presence and power of God. But when I did, you know, the walls that I had built around me, they truly finally began to open up, and a freedom that I never thought that I'd feel began to grow, you know, and continues as long as I just keep trudging this road and living in steps 10, 11, and 12 with all of you. So thank you. Thank you for that opportunity to share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Ruth H. Okay, we've got Marissa E. up next. And let me just let everybody know where we are in the book. We're on page 161, the third paragraph, which begins under only slightly different, reading through two paragraphs ending in this helpful interchange. And we'll take some more names after Marissa shares. Marissa, please go ahead.
Good morning, Gina. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. Just identifying in, I put down the food. I've been entirely abstinent. Today is 12 weeks. And it says here in the second paragraph, there are the same fast friendships. There is the same helpfulness to one another as you find among our Western friends. There is a good bit of travel between East and West, and we foresee a great increase in this helpful interchange. And my sponsor, actually, she had me talking to at least one recovered person a day. And, you know, it talks about in the book how alcoholics are people of extremes. So I self-assigned myself, right? I'm going to talk to a different recovered compulsive overeater every day. And I'm just so grateful because within these past 3 months, right, I have experienced this too, right? Those same fast friendships and that same helpfulness in East to West, right? And I don't think it's a coincidence that before the meeting started, the moderator was asking for people to, you know, claim their seat, and we have the four corners, right? Because I'm on the phone with people in Eastern time zone, in Central time zone, in Mountain time and Pacific time, and I've talked to people in Europe, and yeah, right, this is really vision, right? It started out with the, you know, Eastern time friendly meeting, and now we have this meeting, and we have the unrecorded meeting, and I'm just so, so grateful that when I called these recovered fellows, they were just so welcoming and so helpful, and now I have this tribe, right? When I need to do a 10-step, when I need to do a nightly review, when I'm feeling restless, irritable, and discontent, I have people to call and they want to talk to me, right? And they're inviting me to different workshops and they're inviting me to different events and they're just so welcoming. And now I really try and give that to the newcomer, right? And I just say, I'm just beyond the hill, right in front of you, right? I'm like waving like over here, like this way, right? But just trying to give that same fast friendship that same helpfulness east to west. I'm just so grateful that we really are following the directions as laid out here and just emulating that in our program and on this line. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Marissa E. Indeed, we do. We cover a lot of territory. All right, we are now ready for a new group of people who would like to share on what was read. Who would like to share?
Patty O.
Beatrice O. Okay, I heard about three people. Beatrice O.
Lauren K.
Julie E.
Julie E.
Patty. Patty B.
Patty B.
Ziva R.
Oh, came in over each other.
Ziva R.
Ziva R. Something H.
Nikifa H.
Nikifa, okay. All right, let me tell you who I've got here. We've got Beatrice O, Marin K, Julie E B, Patty B, Ziva R, Nikifa H. Let's go with that, and hopefully that will take us out, but we might have room at the end for one more. Beatrice, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Beatrice from California, and the part where it says the presence and power of God within the walls, I think that what comes to me is when we're in meetings, not just in meetings, but when we are abstinent and we surrender, I think we have the God, it's the positive energy, we have God in us. It's that glow, that with that abstinence feeling, that glow that we have within us, that energy, that God energy. And I also believe that, you know, we become beacons. We're not in the dark anymore. And beacon is like the light inside of us. And I think that the hopelessness, it says, you know, that they kept an eye to selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. And I think that eye on selecting who was willing to recover on a spiritual basis is that person was probably hopeless. They were probably dead inside. And I think that provides the opening, is where you open the door to let God in when you've already exhausted yourself trying to do everything you could to get sober. And I believe that, you know, these steps is the self-cleansing. I think recovery and healing, it's an inside job. It's not an outside job. You know, I easily focus on my exterior, what I look like, what I weigh, what I'm wearing, but it's really an inside job. And the last thing I'll say is, you know, I believe in God, and it's hard to believe in something that's invisible, that you can't see. But I don't need to see him because I feel him. He's in my heart. And I think that's love, and love for myself, that I don't have to destroy myself with food or try to escape. And I can become what I was meant to be. And that requires a spiritual healing. There isn't anything in this world that can help me except God. Thank you.
With that, thank you, Beatrice. Thank you so much. Okay, Marin K., you're up next, and Julie E.B. will come after you. Marin, please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Thank you for your help, and thank you, everybody who shared on the line, and hope everybody had a sane holiday. The big book, the first time I felt the presence of God was when my sponsor, I've had been hospitalized, and I had severe anorexia. I was tied to a chair and tubes down my nose to feed me. That was in the early 80s. And I met my sponsor in about 20, 30 years ago. She sat down and read the big book with me, and I felt the presence of God in the big book. I have found always that the big book has the presence of God. I was in the hospital, and I was going to be there without feeding myself, and then I said the serenity prayer, and then I started feeding myself. So that was a moment of God while I was in the hospital in 1988, and that was the beginning of my abstinence. And, and at that time, I'd already had you guys to call. I had meetings. I had a sponsor. So this is very meaningful to me because I think a lot of people are in hospitals, but the presence of God only is there for me when I have the big book and a sponsor. And, you know, I have been in hospitals where I would just throw up and I would do anything in the world. But once I was hospitalized with the big book and a sponsor, I recovered, and that was 24 years ago. This is just a book that says everything on how to live. I have a little bit of a spiritual crisis because I don't grow up in a Christian family. I grew up in a Jewish family, but we didn't really have any this reform. And I think most of what I've learned is out of the big book. But all of a sudden, I've been trying to, like, be a Jew or wear a Catholic cross, and that doesn't work for me because, you know what, I don't know enough about either one of those things to do that. So I want to just say that if anyone out there is wondering about God, good orderly direction is something that works for me. And anytime I sit down and read the big book with you guys, and anytime I go to a meeting, that is where I find God. I have to say that God is something that is accessible only within the ability to reach out to another compulsive overeater and to connect. So thanks for letting me share, and everybody have a great day.
And thank you so much, Marin K. Julie E.B., you are up next, followed by Patty B. Julie, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado today. And I must say that I was very moved by these words, only under slightly different conditions, the same thing. Wow. So when I think about this hospital, I think of what this hospital must have been like before there was any glimmer of hope. This was a place that people were locked away, put away, that were desperate and dying. And that's what my disease did to me, you know, whether I was desperately, I was trapped, you know, 300 pounds, screaming in pain, bedbound for 4 months, or whether I was just out in the world trying to make connections and relationships and not really seeing who I am according to my higher power, who I could be, how I could relate, seeing only resentment and fear and harm and shame. And so this is a disease that traps, whether it's the physical allergy or the mental obsession. And now this miracle sentence, many of us have felt for the first time the power and the presence and power of God within its walls. Imagine the power and presence of whatever you consider God to be, whether it's good orderly direction or love or someone, as I found in the big book, who cares for and protects me. And I could find that within the walls that I had built, the walls that life had built, the walls that my disease had built. So now it's a miracle, you know. Even though at risk to what made common sense a medical practice, there could be fast friendships, there could be helpfulness east to west. You know, I love having access to some people have done, you know, service by putting together just a place to post the need for 10 steps. And just by using that, if it's 2 a.m, it might be another time on the Pacific Coast for me, or if it's the crack of dawn, the East Coast people might be up and moving. So I can just turn things that I have been trying to turn to my higher power with that are kind of stubborn. I can just share them with a fellow and let them go and then turn to helping another from east to west. This program works. And so I'm just so grateful for this meeting, and that what binds us is that we can feel the power of presence of God as we share with sanity and share solution on this line. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, Patty B., you are next, and you'll be followed by Ziva R. Please go ahead, Patty.
Hi, this is Patty D., as in David, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from outside Charlotte in North Carolina. The thing that struck me, I guess, about this reading was where it said that for many of us have felt for the first time the presence and power of God within the walls of the hospital, and that they said that we foresee a great increase in this helpful interchange. I don't think, you know, back then that they had any idea of what was going to happen with the exponential increase of AA and OA and NA, and how this group of people was just going to help millions of people with addictions. And I firmly believe that it was because God was in it. And what it reminded me of when I was hearing the reading was back in Scripture, in Acts, when Christianity was starting and they were being persecuted, they were dragged in front of the ruling authorities of the Jewish religion at the time, and they wanted to kill them, the apostles. And one of the leaders said, you know what, if this is from man, this will peter out. But if it's from God, no one's going to be able to stop it. So just let them go. And that's what I thought of. It's like, you know what, if AA had just been about men and been thought up by men, it would have fizzled out. But it wasn't. God was in it. Higher power was in it. And that's where the success came, and that's where the exponential growth came. And that's why we have hope, because it isn't just a plan made up by men. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you for letting me share. And thank you all for your service and all of my fellows who have helped me recover. Thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty D. And just a gentle reminder, or maybe this would be an instruction for people, but we do observe the tradition of outside resources and not naming titles of things. So, but we do appreciate the share. Okay, Ziva R., you are next, followed by Ziva
okay.
H. Ziva, can I please go ahead.
Can I be heard?
Ziva, yes, please go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to, you know, share gratitude. It says in the last two lines that were read about the increased interchange between East and West. So I found OA 38 years ago in Israel. I currently live in California, where we have meetings every hour, every part of the city, and I'm currently visiting Cambridge, Massachusetts, where there is only one meeting where I am. And here, I felt like I really, really need a meeting today, and I can call into this community of people that are just there and all sharing the same solution. And for me, this is God. I mean, the universal effect that OA has now is just mind-blowing. I personally sponsor a woman who lives in Stockholm, Sweden, and because of technology, we can email every single day and connect and talk once a week for an hour. So it's just like a pure miracle, this program. And I am so grateful for my abstinence of 12 years and of just being present in my life and being able to come to Cambridge and visit my daughter and support the family, because right now they need a little help. I can come for a week, and I can have a meeting every day. So thank you so much for being there. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Ziva R. We appreciate your joining the meeting and sharing with your service. Okay, Nikifa H., you'll be next. And then after Nikifa, I might have time for one, maybe two more shares. So get your star one finger ready. Nikifa, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Nikifa H., a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for this meeting this morning. And all I hear about, all I'm hearing is like higher power. And I just was given an assignment from my sponsor to write a list about what I wanted my higher power to be. And I have a few years experience with the 12 steps from somewhere else. And what I came up with is that I don't have a list of adjectives to explain this power that I have. There are some things that I do that I believe open me up for this power. You know, I kneel when I pray as a sign of surrender, and I do yoga to quiet my mind and listen to my body, and I go to meetings regularly to hear, and I keep abstinent and sober people close because I believe that's how I receive some of my messages. And that for me is my higher power. And I call my higher power so many things because there was a point in time I couldn't call God by all these different names that people have for their higher power, right? So sometimes it's higher power. Sometimes I call it Bobby. Sometimes it's Papa. That's personal to me, you know, and that works for me. And it's been so freeing because when I tried to box it off, whatever that power is, it made it real challenging. And for me today, I don't need it in a box. I just know that it's always present and it's always there and it's whatever I need at whatever moment I need it. And something that was read, and then I've shut my mouth, it talked about how he said, and I guess this is the first time I've ever had an issue with the big book, if you'll say, that he kind of looked and seen who was ready or could fix it spiritually. And I'm paraphrasing, right? And I thought, you know, I don't want to take on that, you know, because I don't know who's ready. I can't look. I can't tell. And I don't want to have that attitude with somebody else, you know, that I'm saying, oh, they're not ready. I'm not going to share my experience, strength, and hope. And it may not even mean that, but that's what I heard, you know, my perception. But I just want to give what I have, you know. And I got a few days abstinent, and boy, I think I'm at 58 days abstinent, you know. And it's a world of difference, and I'm so grateful for that. And I'll give that, whatever it is I have, to anybody, you know, that wants to have it or thinks they want to have it, you know. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Nikita. Okay, we have time for 1 3-minute share. Who will that be?
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R., you got it. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, moderator, and thank you, everybody. Incredible shares. So grateful for Dr. Silkworth for his humility to acknowledge the fact that he didn't have the answers and for his boldness to actually help these people by finding people they could work with. You know, it's incredible. And, you know, the spiritual awakening is key to this program, and people find it the way they find it. And, you know, when I came in, I was filled with spiritual knowledge, and there were a lot of kinks in that hose, you know, kinking, blocking the flow of that power. And, you know, thank God he anointed Bill W. to write these steps, because they are higher power mandates. You know, they're mandates from our higher power. You know, you can't skip any of it, and you have to be all in. God is everything, or God is nothing. And, you know, I find that when I step away from my higher power, he's always there. It's me that does the stepping away. He's never stepped away from me. And I'm able to reflect back on my life and see that in many cases. But, you know, I just want to just express gratitude for Dr. Silkworth, because without that divine meeting between him and Bill, Bill would have died a drunk, and we would all be in trouble. But that'll pass.
Okay, thank you, Lisa J.R. We have time for maybe a 1-minute share if somebody wants to pop in and take that. Anybody?
Hi, Terry C.
Go ahead, Terry.
Hi,
MJ.
Terry C.
Terry, go ahead.
A recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey, and yeah, I just want to say that the doctor's opinion is convincing testimony because the humility of this man that we've all talked about this morning, that, you know, he understood us. You know, Bill was one of us, but Dr. Silkworth really sympathized with us, and he really understood the pain and suffering, and he was humble enough to suggest that something beyond his scope worked, and I just want to express my gratitude for that. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Terry. Okay, you are going to be our last share today, and we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Terry C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.